What's up, y'all? It's Thomas South, and you're listening to Breakfast with the Gators.
Back, everybody, to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators, part of the Stadium McGill Network and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA is a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. You can give a guy a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate, wills, or trust and estate planning. Good afternoon, everybody. Coming to you Thursday night. Little Braves are off, Rays are off. So we're welcomed by Jacob Lovelace's presence for the first time in a while. Welcome back.
Hey, man. Appreciate you guys having me. What's going on?
Quiet week on Gator Twitter this week, huh?
Yeah, nothing to talk about.
I do hate we don't have our Will Norris here to defend himself on quite the episode that occurred Wednesday on Gator Twitter with the unleashing of three new jerseys. I know they promoted the two home uniforms. Obviously, still waiting for the blue helmets away outfit.
Will is in a padded room, locked away, protecting himself and everyone around him. I think he loved them. I don't know about y'all.
I woke up this morning. I was Team Will yesterday, and then I kind of woke up this morning, and I still hate them. But the blues are the all blue. I can get used to, especially if it's under the lights at home. Obviously, still be determined of who that opponent will be. I assume Ole Miss or Oklahoma, the two premier games we have with the throwback alternates scheduled for homecoming against South Carolina. I think which we can all agree on, the blue Circle F throwbacks are awesome. But when every time you turn on the Gators or see our logo on the camera on ESPN or whatever network, it's got that Gator script on an orange lid.
When we got to like hour 25 of the uniform discourse, I think that was about the time that I started flipping from being a traditionalist to just kind of enjoying the show that Will was putting on and trying to egg him on a little bit. Bottom line, I think that our traditional home uniforms are the best looking uniforms in all of football. And when you mess with that, you're going to get some varying reactions on what people think of them. So I get why they do it. I don't necessarily agree with it. I want to win football games more than anything else. So if the uniforms help us not have our fifth losing season in 6 years, then so be it. They can wear blue, orange, white, whatever color helmets they want to if they're winning football games. But I would prefer the traditional orange helmet, blue jersey, blue pants, or orange helmet, blue jersey, white pants.
I think we're on hour 42 of jersey discourse right now.
Hey, you know,
I know everyone's tired of it, but in a few minutes we will also have Shane Matthews on joining us to talk fall camp, the quarterback battle, the receivers we have, and what he's hearing and seeing. So just a few minutes away from that. So actually, here he is right now. So let's bring him on. Didn't quite. Gator Radio Network with Sean Kelly and host of the Pot Up Matthews in the Morning. And I think we just lost Shane as we were introducing him. All right, welcome back, Shane.
Yeah, man. How y'all doing?
We're doing great. How's Mississippi?
It's hot, man. It's so hot here. It's crazy. But I spent a lot of time here, obviously, with my daughter and grandkids living here. So I'll hopefully be back in Florida in a few days.
Awesome. I know we got a lot of things going on right now in Gainesville, specifically John Sumrall's first camp. A lot of to talk about, but what's your interactions been with Sumrall this offseason, and what are you kind of looking forward to in year one under the new staff?
Well, I love his energy. He's just a good old dude, man. He's a good football coach. He's hired a great staff, which has really excited me. He's no nonsense, paid or who you are. I think he will play the best players, and that's what excites me. So we'll see. I mean, I don't think the roster is where it needs to be right now, but they're doing a great job recruiting. And I think they win some games this year. The recruits will follow.
He's been pretty adamant, right? And we saw today the Florida Victoria's release of donations and matching it per win. So obviously he's hitting his resources, his largest he's had since being a head coach. But talking about the players, you've been vocal about the quarterback position in years past, and rightfully so, right? And right now we've got an ongoing quarterback battle. If you were the head coach or the offensive coordinator, what areas would you identify in this camp that would allow for one to separate themselves from the other?
Well, I think the most important things in playing the quarterback position are your knowledge of the offense, understanding situations, physical toughness. If you have a chance to be a pretty good quarterback, too many people get caught up in all the measurables that, you know, you never have to throw a ball over 50 yards unless it's a Hail Mary at the end of the game. Battling for the job. I thought they threw more spring than I've seen here in the last couple of years. So I'm excited. I don't know who's going to win the job. I would think it would be Aaron Follow because he's very familiar with the system. He understands Buster, you know, works. He basically followed Buster's starting job to come here. Time will tell, though, but I'm excited. I think we're going to have a really good quarterback play.
Shane Philo, what have you seen from him kind of in the early going in spring, and what have you been hearing in fall camp about him? Obviously, Buster Faulkner thought you've seen from him early.
You know, and like I said, in the spring, I think they're both fundamentally sound. You know, follows the all-time leading passer in the history of high school football in the state of football there. I don't care what classification. That's, you know, if you're the all-time leading passer, you know what to do with the ball. He's the guy that Buster handpicked him to come to Georgia Tech. A lot of my buddies that are Georgia people, he wanted Follow to be the starter, but the head coach wanted Haynes King, from what I was told. I don't know if it's true or not, but Buster's a tremendous play caller, one of the best in America, if not the best. So I'm excited. You know, I think Follow's got a chance to have a heck of a year if he's the quarterback, but I think Tremel, like I said, both these kids understand, they can anticipate, they know where to go with the football. I think the offense has a chance to be really good.
And you've obviously played the position, coached the position. Him coming from Georgia Tech and having an understanding of what Buster Faulkner likes to do and in the playbook, how real is that in fall camp, and how much of a leg up is that in a quarterback battle going into fall camp?
Well, it's definitely an advantage. Don't let anybody tell you they're not. I mean, it's no different than in the NFL when guys get picked up when somebody's injured. They go to somebody that knows the system. That's kind of what they did. They needed a quarterback. They went and got a guy that's familiar with what Buster does. Buster's familiar with him. But let's be honest. I think one of the most important pickups in the transfer portal was Harrison Moore. And can help the quarterback regardless of who that is.
Shane, you mentioned loving Buster Faulkner as a play caller. What was it about his offenses at Georgia Tech and some for that make you so excited about what he's going to do for Florida's offense this year?
Well, he's a former quarterback, first of all. He's an air raid guy. He's pretty much responsible for Stetson Bennett and their back-to-back national titles runs and championships. You know, people think it's going to be quarterback powers and all this stuff that they saw with Haynes King. You're not. You're going to see us. We're going to throw the ball way more than people think. I know we have Jaden Ball. I know we have a ton of really good running backs. But the best way and the fastest way to score is to throw the ball, and he's really good at scheming, knowing when to play, call the plays. you know, there's only a handful of great coordinators, in my opinion, in America. I know people in the past have always said, we need to hire a coordinator. We need to hire a coordinator. Muschamp hired a different coordinator every year, and we were not very good on offense. It takes a special person to know when and how to call plays, and we got a guy that can do it.
Yeah, that was something that I think that you mentioned a lot last year, talking about Billy Napier's offense, that it's not the plays themselves, but it was the sequencing that caused a lot of those issues, and knowing when to dial up what play. Is that what's jumped out to you the most? It's not necessarily scheme-wise that he does anything different from other air raid offenses or other offensive coordinators around the country, but just the way that he has that feel for when to dial up, you know, the certain right play call to beat the defense, keep them off balance. Yeah,
and you know, I'm a huge fan of execution. I'm a big proponent of, it doesn't matter what the play's called, it's the player's job to go out and execute, especially the quarterback. Now, you're going to make mistakes, but go execute the play called, regardless of the situation. Buster does a tremendous job of personnel groupings, scheming. You know, there's a weakness to every defense. Even the 85 Bears, there's a weakness. It's the offense coordinator's job to find that weakness and attack it. And the beauty about Buster is he expects a lot from his quarterbacks. That's what I noticed during the spring. There ain't no sugarcoating it. You know, if you're not throwing completions and running the offense the way you're supposed to, you're not going to play. And that's how I was taught. That's what Coach Spurry did with us. And, but back to your question about knowing, like, I tell people this all the time. Every team in America has the same plays. It's not like somebody has a secret play hidden in a drawer that nobody's ever seen. Everybody has the same plays Steve Spurrier had. They have the same plays Nick Saban had. They have the same plays Lane Kiffin has. It doesn't matter. It's knowing how to teach it and knowing when to call it. That's the most critical part.
Yeah, and Shane, let's go back to Tramella Jones. He came in last year off a broken foot. I think he only played one or two games his senior year at Mandarin. Comes in limited, still wins the backup quarterback job. What'd you see from him? And he didn't get put in a place to succeed at all in the limited time he got. But what's the transitions you've seen from him from practice in the spring of 25 to now?
Well, he's getting more reps. You know, I liked Tramella a lot last year. I didn't know much about him. I knew he didn't play his senior year, I don't believe, but he throws a really good ball. You know, it's got different paces to it. He's got, you know, he can drop it in when you need to. Very accurate, catchable football, had good fundamentals. You know, I was hoping he would get some playing time last year, but he was always thrown into a bad situation. As I said, both these guys have a capability of having big years. I think we're going to be really good on offense, a lot better than people around the country think. And I'm excited to see whoever plays at quarterback. On my show, it's always this person wants this guy, this guy wants that guy. I don't care who the quarterback is. And I think the fans need to trust. I know sometimes people say the fans know more than the coaches. That may be the case here and there. But Buster Faulkner was the most important hire, in my opinion, that John Summerall made. I believe he was the offensive coordinator of the year among his peers. I believe he was voted that. I could be wrong. Trust what he does with the quarterbacks is all I can say.
I'd like to point out Jacob and I tried hiring Buster Faulkner 2 years ago before Billy's last year. I think he made a smart business decision not anchoring to the sinking ship. So I'm glad he is here in Summerall's first year.
Yeah, I mean, I was ecstatic because they hired Buster. I mean, they hired Coach Summerall. He hired a bunch of other staff, but it was kind of that DC and OC. They were kind of waiting till the last minute. And when I saw they hired Buster Faulkner, I was like, "Yes, sir, we're serious about offense now."
Right, and I think it's just going back to him as a play caller. You know, we're not going to see the same Georgia Tech offense, obviously, but it's just his background being so versatile. When he was at Arkansas State, Middle Tennessee State, he led the conference in passing yards 1 year, and then the following year is running back at 1,500 yards. It's just he adapts to the player personnel, and I think that's the biggest thing in him having arguably the most talent he's ever had, maybe outside of Georgia under Stetson Bennett his few years there. But now as a play caller, I think that is just going to be the biggest thing is him adapting to our personnel and dialing up the play sheet.
Agree. You know, I would argue this is the most talent he's had at the skill position since he's been calling plays. And, you know, I know whatever he was the quarterback, whatever he was at Georgia, he was very involved in their offense. And I don't even remember who all was on that team outside of Stetson. I know they had really good tight ends at Georgia, but from a receiver standpoint, I don't think they have anything that we have. And Jaden Ball, Duke Clark, the rest of the transfers that came in, I love these skill guys. He does a great job with personnel groupings, you know, whether it's 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 10, whatever we want to do, he knows how to attack the weakness of the defense. And the other guy I was so excited about was Eric Singleton when they signed him. I don't think people know how dynamic he is and was at Georgia Tech 2 years ago.
Yep.
So I'm anxious to see him play in this offense.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how Buster starts tailoring the offense to the strengths of this team, and even from quarterback to quarterback, how he might change stuff up. Shane, what do you think is kind of maybe internally the best time to kind of make a move towards one quarterback or another here in camp and roll with a starter just to start getting the lion's share of those first team reps?
I would think they would start giving one guy more reps after this weekend is my guess. I personally, and again, I've been on a lot of quarterback battles. I was not part of a battle, but set through them in the NFL. Usually people on the team and the coaches know who the quarterback's going to be. You know, they may not tell the players or tell the media, but I feel like they kind of have an idea. But I think maybe we'll know something here in the next week or so.
Shane, you're really high on the play caller, really high on the skill guys. We've talked about Jaden Ball. We've talked about some of those guys in the wide receiver room. The other big question mark, obviously, has been about the offensive line. You mentioned Harrison Moore at center being brought in with Buster Faulkner and Philo from Georgia Tech. A lot of jobs still to be won here in these next couple weekends. We've heard about the strength gains that have happened this offseason. Have you heard anything about progress being made, how those guys are developing under Phil Troutwine so far in camp?
Well, Troutwine's a very good coach. I think, you know, during the spring they were trying guys at different places. I think once they find five, they can piece it together. It may not be one of the top offensive linemen in the league or the country, but play callers can help your linemen out. Your quarterback can help linemen out. You know, if you know where to go with the football, you take your steps, ball's gone, you can whiff up front. That's how I was taught under Steve Spurrier. You know, we played with two true freshmen, which was unheard of at tackles my senior year. But I got rid of the football. You can still throw the ball deep if you take your steps and let it go. If you don't know where to go with the ball and you hold it, that is on the quarterback. And so it drives me crazy when a lot of people watch a game, after the game, quarterbacks was sacked five times. Could it have been the quarterback's fault? Would it could have been the offensive line's fault? It could be a combination. Was it the running back who whiffed on his protection scheme? So there's so much that goes into the passing game. Back to your asking about the linemen. I think they will be fine because I believe Buster, Troutwine, the rest of the staff will coach around it right now until they get an offensive line the way they want.
Yeah, well, I think we 100% agree. I've touched on that in previous episodes. Shane, you got to throw the ball to Willie Jackson, Jack Jackson, Aubrey Hill, Harrison Houston, and then obviously you just mentioned the guys that we got now and the plethora of talent. Where does our guys rank on paper? You know, bring in Eric Singleton, who – kind of brings that vertical threat that we really didn't have in years past to balance out the big physical Dallas Wilson, VB3, and a few of these other guys that are going to be in the rotation. I mean, legitimately, where do these guys rank in years past of on talent paper?
Well, on paper, they could be the best they've ever had as a group. Now, I look at the 96 team with Ike Quezzi, Riedel, Doring. He would have been in the 95 with Travis McGriff. That 95-96 crew is as good as you're ever going to find. Urban had a couple. I can't remember who all was here. But when you look at Wilson, Dallas Wilson, Vernell Brown, Eric Singleton, Bailey Stockton, TJ Abrams, and I'm sure some of those freshmen that I'm leaving out, the Mays kid. The first day I walked out to spring practice, I didn't have a roster. I didn't know anything. I just stood in the end zone up against the goalpost. And I was like, who is number five? It's like, this guy is a damn good wide receiver. And then I find out it's a transfer from Wake Forest. But to answer your question, they could be as good a group as we've ever had.
That's high praise.
They seem like you mentioned, with Mays and even Stockton coming over from Georgia Tech, that there's probably some depth there that they like. But even with Dallas and Vernell Brown, Singleton that you talked about, it seems like there's a plethora of skill sets. How important is that for that room to have guys that are good at different things?
Well, you always want your receiving core kind of like a basketball team, right? Some shorter guys, medium height, some taller guys, big guys. Not everybody can run the route tree. Like you mentioned Willie Jackson. Willie Jackson, I don't know if he ever caught a go route or a deep post, because Coach Spurrier's like, you're not good at running those. We're going to run you on corners, dig routes, curls, things of that nature. So I'm not sure what everybody's good at, but that's the beauty of Buster Faulkner. They will find out what these guys are good at, and they're going to call it for them.
This entire offseason, the talk has been about Dallas Wilson, Eric Singleton, and VB3. You mentioned a few other guys that popped out to you in the spring and kind of through this offseason. Do you view Jaden Baugh as being a guy that could be a fourth legitimate threat out of the backfield catching passes in Buster Faulkner's offense?
Yeah, I do. If you look at my 3 years of playing, Eric Rett was our leading receiver all 3 years. In good passing offenses, if it's not open downfield, check it down. Let's go to the next play. That check down turns into 5 or 6 games, or it may turn into 15. But we don't get sacked, and we're moving the chains. We're putting us in a good situation. Actually, he's like fourth or fifth all-time in receptions in the history of the school as a running back. So I do believe Jaden Baugh will catch a bunch of balls as well as Duke Clark. I think both of them will.
Finn, I know we've touched a lot on the offensive side of the ball, but defensively, let's just break that down a little bit. I think our linebacking group is one of the best in the country. Then I think we got a lot of skilled players in the secondary. I don't know about the depth. What's your take on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, for us to have the year we want to have, the defensive front has to be outstanding, in my opinion. And I've said this for many, many years now. Florida's defense has not been a Florida defense with that disruptor since like John Grenard or Dante Fowler. You know, as an offensive guy, when you're watching tape of your opponent, you're trying to say, okay, who is the guy we cannot let win the football game for the opposing team with sack fumbles or just disrupting the entire offense? I'm hoping that could be Jaden Woods this year. You know, you hear about it. You saw some flashes last year. But the coaches that I've talked to say he has a chance to be a great at Florida. He's the guy. Then it needs to be L.J. McCray, in my opinion.
Yep.
I'm with you. I love our linebacking core. On the back end, I'm still not sure. Our safety play has not been great the last few years, but our secondary will be fine if we pressure the quarterback with the front four or front five.
Yeah, but I think the quarterback of the defense, it might be that Cam Dooley safety that came over from Kentucky and is used to the Brad White defense, so I think that'll help a lot of the continuity. But, yeah, it starts with the front seven and getting pressure on the quarterback. It makes their job on the island that much easier. And, Shane, I know we'll wrap up here with a few quick hitters. I think the over-under is 7.5. I think the Gators tally more than 7.5 wins.
I sure hope so. I'll say yes, just because, look, I think the stretch with – when you look at it on paper, I think there's two teams on paper that you say, you know what, it's going to be extremely difficult to win because they're both road games, and they're both in the top three in America, Texas and Georgia. Right. But I still today don't know how we beat LSU a couple of years ago and we beat Ole Miss a couple of years ago. But we were at home. So right. Can we beat Ole Miss at home? Absolutely we can. Can we beat Oklahoma at home? Yes. So I think when you look at the Auburn, Ole Miss at Missouri, those three games, two on the road, that will set the tone for the year, in my opinion. But I'll go over. I'm going to be a homer and go over.
I think we are all pretty consensus in that effort earlier in this week when we said over eight. And it starts with that Auburn game. That used to be a big-time rivalry, and obviously it stopped in the early 2000s. I think 2011 is the last time we went to Jordan-Hare. I was there in 2006. Talk about that environment during your playing days. That's a tough, weird, voodoo-type style stadium that it seems like they pull off a lot of wins they shouldn't.
It's a beautiful place. You know, I only played there once in my 3 years. The other two were at home. We won all three. So we had some success against the Auburn Tigers way back when. It's going to be an intriguing game because it's our first road game under John Summerall, their new coach. Our coach has a great track record, if you're into trends, against Alex Golish. I'm not a huge Byron Brown guy. I think he's a good college football player. I think he's very limited throwing the football. He's a dynamic runner. But if you have integrity in your rush lanes and make him throw the football, I like our chances. But it's going to be a great environment. You know, we haven't, like you said, we haven't played those guys in so long, and they're the closest SEC school to us. So I know our fans are excited. I'm sure Auburn is as well. So I'm looking forward to going to Auburn.
You caught any of the USAM this week? I think Jack Turner, we had eight Gators qualified. Jack Turner remains in the quarterfinals. You caught any of that action?
I've been watching a little bit, mostly following it on my phone. It's crazy when you look at golf, only five dudes can really, you can play, what is it, play five, only four scores count, or is it play six, only five scores count? They got so many good players on that team, and some of them don't even get to participate. It's crazy.
It's
crazy,
nuts.
Crazy, crazy.
Yeah, but one thing that came out on Twitter yesterday, I know you're visiting family in Mississippi. As a guy that played in the 90s, kind of set the tone and tradition of this university. What are your thoughts on the alternate uniforms?
I'm not a fan. I'm a traditionalist. I'm a orange helmet, blue jerseys, white pants at home, all white on the road. Every now and then, maybe throw the orange pants on. Yeah, I only wore the blue pants, I think, once. We got clobbered in them. I'm not an all blue fan. I do not like the all blue. I don't like helmet changes. Now, I do love the throwback uniforms.
Correct. Yep.
I'm all for that once a year. But look, I understand. It is what it is, but I guess I'm very old and I like tradition.
Our official position on this show is the exact same. So,
okay, and you guys are young.
We're aging out of the new uniforms too, I think.
Yeah,
we got to call the boomers a lot of different words yesterday, protecting the traditions online. So, but
yeah,
you know, we will.
I don't like the all blue, but I know we had a lot of success under Urban wearing the all blue, so people do like that.
Yeah, I think that was during our childhood. The big game blues started coming out, and so that's kind of stuck with us in our core member. And we were winning, so when you win in them, you know we like wearing more.
Yeah,
but awesome, Shane. Greatly appreciate it, my man. And we'll try to get you back on during the season and let our listeners know where they can follow you at.
You can follow me on Twitter. I think my handle is SMNiner. SMNiner. I should know that, right? Or you can follow, watch my show. It's Monday through Friday. It's live from 8 to 9 Eastern Standard Time on all the different platforms, or you can just check it out later in the day.
Awesome. Thank you, Shane. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Shane. That was great.
That was great. I think it highlights, you know, we've talked about it, we've read about it, how great this wide receiver room and just talent we have offensively at the skill positions. For him to say on paper this could be one of the best groups they've ever had speaks highly of what Philo or Trammell will be working with.
It tells me he thinks highly of Philo and Trammell too.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it sounds like he thinks that Philo is going to end up being the guy. So something that he's seen in the spring over the summer, I know he said he hasn't personally watched much of fall camp, but it tells me, you know, somebody's got to get those receivers the ball, and you think that they're capable of doing that. And obviously his belief in Buster Faulkner's offense. It's a really good stuff.
Yeah, I think just him as a guy that's played like that and obviously coached a lot of football too, been around it a long time, but talking about how he thinks Buster can scheme around if the offensive line isn't quite, you know, what they want it to be in year one. And then I thought he had great insight on a quarterback battle from a player's perspective, being in the building perspective, even if he didn't go through it at Florida, but, you know, in the pros that, you know, they know long before we do, you know, the direction that they're going to head in.
Yeah, correct. And you know, it's going to be a big test for these guys. Like we've mentioned, this first scrimmage is the 15th this Saturday and then next Saturday. Both will be at night, so I don't know how many updates we'll get, maybe until Sunday morning when stuff starts to roll out, to kind of imitate the kickoffs for the first, I guess, three games are at night. But yeah, I thought that was great insight on Buster Faulkner. And, you know, people just keep online. You know, our offense is going to be tailored to – around the Georgia Tech offense with Haynes King, but he mentioned the air raid offensive background, what he did at Middle Tennessee State and some of these other stops he's had, and he pretty much was the success behind Stetson Bennett. So a lot of great insight from a former All-American and All-SEC player.
You got to be able to do both. I mean, Spurrier's offense would look different today than it does, you know, or than it did in the 90s when nobody else was running the fun and gun. So I think you have to be able to – when you have Jaden Baugh, you're going to run the ball with him. You know, I'm not saying he's going to get 25, 30, 35 carries a game, but you're going to establish the run. You're going to run the ball. You're going to have Duke Clark and Pryor and that the rest of that room contribute too. Especially if you don't know exactly what the offensive line is going to shake out and look like. And you don't necessarily know what the quarterback's going to wind up looking like. So having that running back, the established guy, will help a lot with making whoever the quarterback is, his job a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how he tailors some things, even quarterback to quarterback. If one of these guys don't put themselves far out enough ahead that it's just their job, if somebody comes in for a series, you know, seeing how the offense could even change in game.
Yeah, a lot of great insight with Shane Matthews, so we appreciate him coming on. I think that's all we got for you this Thursday night. Scrimmage Saturday. We'll see if we can get some notes before our next show. We'll break down the scrimmage. We got, I believe, tentatively got a big guest on next Thursday. Another update of fall camp, what he's seeing and hearing, a guy that's around the program on your television screen. So a lot of good episodes. And obviously, like we mentioned last show, Todd Golden, 8:24 Monday night. So make sure you're following us on Twitter at BreakfastWTG. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple. Get that notification. I think it's still undetermined if we're going to do this show live or not, but we'll make that game time decision before we get Coach on. So we really appreciate the support. Make sure you like, subscribe. Again, thanks to our sponsor, Norris and Norris PA, and part of the Stadium & Go Network, and we'll catch you guys again soon. Go Gators.
Go Gators.